Stand up here. Yes. Thank you so much. Amen. It feels good to feel good in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Feels good to feel good, I said, in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. To feel good. Praise God. We're so thankful for that. A little bout of different sicknesses. I mean, Sunday night, man, I had to preach Sunday morning and Sunday night with a cough drop in my mouth. That's pretty hard to do. And I end up putting one in a bottle of water Sunday night. And it was one of those vitamin C deals, and it just dissolved in it. And that's what I was sipping on it all the time. Yeah, because of constant itchy cough. The Lord has helped me. I'm so thankful for that. We're going to Romans, the 12th chapter tonight. I sure appreciate the love of the Lord and the help of the Lord tonight. Amen. Praise God. Well, amen. It looks good tonight to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see you. God's people tonight. We're so blessed. So blessed. I want to help you tonight. I want to encourage tonight. You know, I've been places where it seems that the only person going to heaven was the man with the microphone. But I want to be that one that helped you get there. Amen. I don't want to be the one that's so, you know, that shoots everybody else's lights out to make my light shine. But I want to let it shine that others could see Jesus Christ. How about you? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Romans, the 12th chapter. Paul, the writer here to the church at Rome. This was written to the church, and it's still applicable to the church. Amen. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It has to be a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice, a living sacrifice means, amen, you're going to have to live for God. Present your bodies. Present your lives. A living sacrifice. Your every ordinary life, everyday ordinary life, amen, ought to be an offering to Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the truth. I praise you and I worship your name, God. And I thank you for these people that are here. Bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hey, can I ask, would it be okay tonight if everybody just moved to the center? Let's get together. Man. And I know you got your spots, but that's all right. Amen. It'll make it a lot easier on me. And just makes you feel better when you see people getting together close. And amen. Thank you so much for understanding that. You may be seated. Paul's talking about your everyday, ordinary life. He talks about offering your life as a sacrifice, an offering for God, and embracing God. You can't live for God without embracing God. Somebody say amen. Amen. He said, present your bodies or dedicate all of yourself. Set yourself apart. Dedicate as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's the best thing you could do, which is your reasonable service. You know what that word service really means? Your worship. In fact, the Hebrew word for worship, most people think worship is maybe the first 20 minutes of a service. Where we sing. You know what worship means? Your service, how you conduct your life all the time. I want my worship, the way I live, I want it to be a worship. How are you worship? How are you worshiping God? Do you leave your worship here at the church the first 20 minutes of singing and all that, and you forget about God? No, we want to worship God every day. We want our minds to be on Him. With our minds, our heart, our souls, everything. Didn't Deuteronomy said we should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might? Amen. How beautiful. And Jesus said this is the greatest commandment. And we're so thankful today. Now, I want to talk to us tonight, and you'll catch this in a minute, about your best shot. Your best shot. And that's what I want to title it tonight. And but we're going to really, if you want to say, Pastor, what exactly are we talking about, your best shot? I want to talk about opportunity management. It's a big, big topic, but it's a small topic that means I'm identifying and prioritizing how to improve and develop my life every day. I got an opportunity. How can I work on me and identify things I need to work on? And we must have an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't believe you just get the Holy Ghost and that's it. Just because you spoke in tongues don't mean anything. I believe you have to speak with other tongues. Amen. I believe you had to repent of your sins. I believe you had to be water baptized in Jesus' name to see or enter the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus said you must. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, we know that self-denial and taking up a cross, cross-bearing, a part of discipleship. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself and bear a cross. Mm-hmm. You got to deny yourself. And so we must prioritize and manage the opportunity today that we have. You only got just this little bit to live. And some of you have been blessed with great years and a great opportunity. The Bible speaks about 70 years is a God-given thing, but there's some of you who've had some bonuses. Amen. Anybody above 70, say thank you, Jesus, for the bonuses. Amen. Every year after 70, you're getting a great bonus from heaven. And Jesus here in Deuteronomy, or even in Matthew, when Jesus said the greatest commandment, he quotes it, that word love, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul. It's a verb. Love is a verb. It's not just a feeling. It's something you do. He loved us. But you've got to grow your love. And Jesus referred to this as being the greatest of the commandments. Isn't it great whenever you could love? There's some people can't love. There's some people been so crushed in life they do not trust. They have no ability to really love somebody because they have been crushed and hurt, wounded, bittered. But I love people that love people, don't you? I love people that love. And I'm glad that Jesus loves me, even though he was wounded, even though he was beaten, even though he was executed and mocked in a way. He still loves me, still loves you. Praise God. Now, somebody wrote this last night at midnight. It wasn't me, but somebody dear to my heart wrote this, and he sent it to me this morning. And he said, the last arrow in a hunter's quiver means more than the others. It's the last chance he has, the only hope for his tomorrow. So he pays close attention to his aim and to the arrow. He knows the flight of it must be true, for it is not only a matter of life or death to his prey, but for the predator too. Hunter, in other words. He wishes that he would use the other arrows more wisely. But he just didn't know at that time. Now, with one arrow left in his quiver, now he depends on the flight of the arrow to do its job. I want to just talk to you tonight about your best shot and how right now it really matters. I believe we have one arrow left. One opportunity left. One opportunity. Some of you that are 16, 17, 18 years old, you think, oh, rats, I didn't get to. I think right now is your best time. If you dedicate every day to God, how do you live for God? Is it just from a Sunday, come back on a Tuesday, come back on a, no. You live for God every day. It's a day by day walk with God. And if you don't conquer your day, guess what? Something's going to conquer it. And I found that to be true, that I got to conquer every day. Every day, you either conquer or be conquered. And a hunter knows that, like, for example, if back in a time where they relied off the food and you had ammunition such as arrows, and when you got down to the last arrow, you knew that you better do your best. You better give it your best, else the prey is either going to get you or you're going to get it. You won't have anything to eat. Now, the title tonight is Your Best Shot. Coley, you got to give your best shot right now. Gloriana, your best shot. Olivia, your best shot. Brother Chad, your best shot. Brother Colton, your best shot. Brother Shorty, our best shot. And in shooting a bow, I like to shoot a bow. I haven't archery hunted in years. But when I did, one of the first things that was taught me when I shot a bow is how you stand. It's how you, your stance matters. Think about it. And in your walk with God, it's your stand matters too. Paul said, having done all this, do stand. Your stand, how you plant your feet with God really matters. I'm telling you, you better have a stable footing in this hour. If you want to be an overcomer, you better get your foot on the rock and your mind needs to be made up. The next thing is when you put that arrow on the string, it's called knocking, right? You knock that arrow, N-O-C-K. You knock that arrow. And what you do, you make sure that arrow is on their level, properly aligned. And your life, you better get it properly aligned. I mean, we want our life to be aligned. And our alignment is the Word of God. Our target is pleasing God. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. The next thing, when you're shooting a bow, not only your stand, how you knock it, but your grip. The bow itself. Grip matters. You know that if you get a grip and you put that thing back, they tell you that need to relax when you pull it out. A lot of things, people think you're pulling the string back. Actually, you push. You relax. I got the mic right here. They taught me when I shoot a bow, instead of gripping it with my crochet, relax like this. Holding that bow. See? And the next thing, not only you need the right kind of grip, we need a grip in Jesus Christ. Amen. I need to get a grip in Jesus. You need a bulldog grip, don't you? Amen. But also how you draw that bow back. As like I tell you, you got to be precise. How you draw your life, how you conduct your life, how you do the things in your life really matters. Everybody's not going to heaven, folks. I despise the theory that good people go to heaven. But I want to tell you, heaven is for those that are righteous. Those that are, I'm telling you, have obeyed the word of God. That have denied themselves, taken up the cross and followed Jesus. Not everybody's going there. But you can go there. Amen. Just because we said not everybody. Amen. Jesus said, amen. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Of the water and of the spirit. So, hey, it's how you get that grip and how you draw it back of that bow. And the next thing, when you go to shoot that arrow, is where you anchor it at. Just give you an illustration. Your anchor point, when you shoot that bow, your stance, grip, your pull, and you got to have an anchor every time. And a lot of people use you aim that bow. I mean, you got to use dominant eye. I am right-handed. You know that I shoot a rifle, I shoot a bow left-handed. Why? Because my left eye is dominant.
next thing, what are you aiming your life at? The Bible says we got to be single-minded. And then the final thing in order to, right? How you let that arrow go. Life, you better put. And whenever you shoot an arrow, instead of doing this, I was going to. Doesn't take somebody long that doesn't know how to learn proper ways. And it don't take somebody long walks in that door that wants to make it to heaven. They are obedient and learn the proper way. Amen. God will help them make it. Are you thankful for that? Amen. Not only does it takes the proper stance, all these different, it takes practice. And it takes consistency. And in living for God, we got to practice our relationship with God. We got to practice our walk with God. Now, Paul said, present your body, your presentation matters, as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, dedicated and consecrated, committed your life. Or you need to realize that your life is sacred. Sacred things belong to God. They're set apart for God. You know what Paul said in 2 Timothy? He was talking to Timothy, a young preacher, a young disciple to him. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Somebody to tell them what they want. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But Paul said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, and make full proof of the ministry. I want you to understand what he's saying here. Be instant in season and out of season. That word instant, Sister Becky, today, that Greek word on that little deal you gave me was the word instant. You know what the word instant in season? It means to take a firm stand or position. We got to take a firm stand. We better have a good position with Jesus Christ. Amen. You need to be positioned with God and against what you're standing. We got to be consistent. And Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant regardless of what season it is. Regardless of what season of life you're going through, whether you're going through a dry time or a flourishing time, be instant, be strong in your stance for God. Keep your aim right. Amen. Remember, you got one arrow. You got one opportunity left. Amen. And so how wonderful it is, amen, to be clear-headed and to keep your focus in Jesus Christ in this hour. Opportunity management. That means to take advantage of the opportunity by identifying and prioritizing different things in your life and improving yourself. We live now with a certain aspect because we're here to better our relationship with God. I want you to become a better person for Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we're better than somebody else. We're just better by the power of God. We're bettered. I'm not better than you. I'm just bettered by living for God. Are you thankful that God has bettered your life? We live for God, but we're aiming to better our life. And I mentioned a while ago that the word worship doesn't mean just us to sing, clap. It means us how we serve and how we aim the arrow of opportunity in our life. What are you doing with your now? What are you doing with your today? What are you doing? What have you done today? How have you lived for God? How you stood? What was your stance? What was your anchor? And how are you releasing this day before God? You got one arrow, and it matters. And Philippians says this. Paul said, brethren, I count myself not to be apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind
and reaching for those things that are before me, I press for the mark, the prize of a high calling in Jesus Christ. In other words, he said, I'm pursuing the target. I'm pursuing the excellency. Hey, the prize is not just the finish line, folks. Amen, but the high calling of God. Amen, I just don't want to make it. There's some people say, oh, I just want to make it. No, I just don't want to make it. I want to make it with everybody in this room with me and other people in this room. I want to make it where God says, hey, you done well. Praise God. And you think about it, the pursuits of excellence. God has helped us, but we need to strive with our aim every day that we live to stay on target. Truth and excellence should be your aim. Now, my closing today is don't miss. And not everybody likes to hunt, but I do. Not everybody likes to fish, but we do. So, I was hunting one time. And when you hunt with a bow, you got a stick and a string and another stick. And everything counts, right? And here comes this deer. And I seen a deer coming. And I thought, man, I could ambush that thing. And I stood and I hid myself, Carson. There was a cedar tree, and that deer was coming down the fence line. And I think you hunted that stand one time, Carson. Yeah. And I seen it coming, so I got my arrow, and I was ready. I was so excited. I said, oh, man, we're going to have fresh meat tonight. And, man, I drew back, and I was. When is the deer going to fall over? There's no way I could miss. But all it took was a little bitty stick about the size of my pinky. Little bitty stick like this. I looked, and Sister Rhonda, it was all scratched up where that arrow hit that stick. I did not compensate for the obstruction in the middle of my pathway. Folks, in your life, there's going to be things that's going to get in your way. There's going to be things that try to get in between you and your target. But we need to learn how to press for the prize or the mark of the high calling of God. I want to encourage you tonight. I want you to prepare. I want you to prepare for things that's going to come your way. I want you to prepare for people that's going to discourage you. People that you love that's going to hurt your feelings. Nobody's ever had your feelings hurt by somebody you love. Well, you're going to get your feelings hurt in this journey, folks. Somebody say amen. Be prepared for things that will try to get in between you and your prize. There's going to be people that disappoint you. There's going to be people that let you down. But they're letting you down and their disappointment and they're hurting you should never, never discourage you. Man, I've had people come to me and said, they've come and said, man, it's too hard to live for God. Yeah, it's too hard to live for God when I don't keep my eye on the prize. I don't keep my eye up on the mark. Now, this is where I want to bring you to. Totally, when you shoot a bow and an arrow, you see that big old target over there, right? And what's that middle thing in the middle of the target called? A bullseye. Do you know that when you're aiming, whether it's a rifle, whether you're trying to throw a knife or a hatchet or shooting a bow, when you go to aim at a bullseye, everybody sees in their mind that big old brown-looking bullseye, and it's got the white, blue, and the red, and the middle's got that big old red bullseye. And generally, it's about 4 inches, right? You know what I've been taught? I've been taught by a man who was the champion Olympic archer in the Olympics in the 1980s, 84, I think it was. His name was Rick Stonebreaker. Rick worked with my daddy at a nuclear plant in Bay City, Texas. And Rick, we went to his house one day, and Rick would shoot arrows. When he got off of work, he would open his garage door, had a big old target, and he would shoot one arrow after another. And Carson, this is what he taught me. He said, when you look at the bullseye, don't look at that big old glob. He said, you put a little bitty dot there. He said, I mean a little bitty dot about the size of your arrow. He said, you aim right in the middle at that little dot. Don't aim at something big. And that day, you know what he did? He shot. Hit right there in the middle of that big old target. And it looked so easy. He said, watch this. He took his next arrow. And when he shot, guess where his arrow hit? It hit the other arrow and split it. He Robin Hooded. In the Olympics, Rick Stonebreaker won the Olympics that year because when he shot the first arrow, the second arrow hit the other arrow and he split it. You got to put your eye on a certain thing. I mean, get your eye fixed. Get your eye not up on the big picture, but get your eye on the definiteness of it. Be certain in your relationship with God. Don't let anything get between you and the target. Keep your mind and your focus on where you're going and what you're doing in life. Hey, hear me. Don't miss. Amen. Let this shot count in life. Amen. Be sure and let your aim be for excellence. Whatever you do, the scripture says, some miss it because they hadn't found the joy of living for God. There's a joy that comes whenever you hit the target. Carson, when you take that gun and you shoot and you hit that target and you're able to strike a match, they say, man, it does your heart good. But you know what? You feel it before you even shoot. There's something about it. Anybody ever play basketball and you did a three-pointer? And before that ball ever left your hand, you knew it was going right in it. And there's sometimes I wish, but it didn't go. But whenever you are aiming your life with giving God your best, how wonderful it feels. Amen. I'm telling you, the joy of not being average, the joy of not being just mundane, but letting your race be finished with joy. Amen. I want to please God. How about you? I want to serve the Lord. Amen. Listen to what Timothy said. Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, indeed, conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He said, till I come, give attendance in reading, to exhortation, building other people up, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hand of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto yourself. Enter the doctrine. Keep your eye on the prize, on the target. Continue in them. And in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself, and guess who else? And them that hear you. I want to cultivate. I want to immerse myself. Work on your aim. Work on your word and line it with his word. Your conversation, who you talk to, how you talk. Work on your giving. Work on your spirit. Your attitude, work on your faith, and work on your consecration with God. As you walk with God, you're learning by practice. And you know how we learn? By failure many times. And there's some people just never learn, right? They never learn. They fail and they fail and they fail. They never listen. They never pay attention to what they're doing. They repeat the same old thing over and over again. But I guarantee you, which one of you girls has never shot a bow? Raise your hand. I guarantee you, if these pal girls today, if we had a bow here and I set up a target somewhere on this property and I taught them the concepts of shooting that bow and that arrow and they listen and they apply, they breathe right, they let everything is right, I guarantee you within 5 minutes of learning, they'll hit that target. I guarantee you within a week's time of them practicing 15 minutes a day, they'll hit the bullseye. I guarantee you in a month of them practicing and keeping everything we taught them, they could hit the very center of the center and knock a knock, all because they've learned to obey and apply. I want to do that for Jesus Christ. Let your aim be victorious for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't stoop to be a loser. Don't stoop to be anything else than to be a champion for Jesus Christ. Amen. Stand, lift your hands and say, God, I want to be a champion.